My name is Rahsaan Thomas, sports editor of the San Quentin News. And this episode of Ear Hustle contains language and some very violent content that some listeners may find disturbing. This is about prison life, and sometimes upsetting things happen. Discretion is advised.
Hey, y'all. My name is Susie, and I'm calling from Austin, Texas. I am a formerly incarcerated woman. My question for y'all is this. What is the one misconception about prisoners and or prison that you wish the greater public did not hold? Or what is a myth about your existence or daily prison life that you wish you could debunk?
Hey, Susie. Thanks for tapping in with us, and congratulations on being a formerly incarcerated person. We're going to get to your question in just a moment. You're now tuned in to San Quentin's Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia. I'm Erline Woods. I've been incarcerated for 21 years, and I'm currently housed here at San Quentin State Prison in California. This episode, we're going to answer a few questions from our listeners.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Ear Hustle.
Howdy. Hello,
Ear
Hustle.
Hello, everyone at Ear Hustle. I'm calling from Chile, South America.
From
Australia.
This is our Catch a Kite episode, when we answer questions from listeners. Kites is prison slang for sending a message. We do this every season in response to your questions in letters, postcards, and emails. But this season, we're doing it a little different. A few months back, we put out a request and asked listeners to call and leave a message with a question, and we got a gang of responses, at least 150, all the way from Australia, South America, and of course, these United States. My co-host Nige is out this week. She's in the Midwest getting her photography exhibition on. The work is called Nigel Poor and the Men of San Quentin, and it's up at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Be sure to check that out if you're in the area. Me and Nige worked on this episode together, but since she's not here now, I'm gonna be flying solo. Well, almost solo.
My name is Rahsaan Thomas, otherwise known as New York.
Rahsaan helped us out with some of the interviewing. He also took a crack at answering some of the questions. Some listeners might remember him. He's the guy with the record for the slowest marathon ever run inside of San Quentin.
It took me 6 hours, 15 minutes, 23 seconds. So I got the longest marathon time ever in San Quentin State Prison. I survived. I'm still alive. Lieutenant thought I couldn't do it.
All right, back to Susie's question that we heard at the top of the podcast.
What is the one misconception about prisoners and or prison that you wish the greater public did not hold?
Well, Susie, I'm not trying to avoid your question, but I like to think that on every episode of Ear Hustle, we try our best to debunk as many misconceptions about prison life as we can. Hopefully, in today's episode, we're going to debunk some more for you. Let's get started.
Hi, this is Chris from Somerville, Massachusetts, and I was wondering, what is the strangest or most inexplicable thing you've ever seen in your time in prison? Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris. I'd have to say the craziest thing I've ever seen was a burglary taking place in prison. It was back in like 1993, and a bunch of guys was looting the package room. And the last guy to come out had a big old TV in his hands. And the police just so happened to be walking up at the same time. And he was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And the guy just looked at him, dropped the TV, and took off running. I don't know where he thought he was running to, but it was the funniest shit I'd ever seen. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But in my 27 years of prison experience, it hasn't all been something that I can laugh at. I've seen stabbings, shootings, beatings, deaths. I've seen a lot. But I tell you, I've never seen anything quite as brutal as what Trevor once saw.
I seen an attack on another person. And what was strange about it, he didn't attack him with a knife or an object or nothing like that. He had a potion. And what I heard the potion consisted of was baby oil and magic shave. You know that gold and black can magic shave? And he mixed them up, put them in the microwave, and caught his victim and threw it on him, burnt the whole half of his head off almost. I was like, wow. And it stuck to him. And it's not like you're getting stabbed. You're trying to get something off your, you know what I mean? He was trying to get it off, and it was nothing he could do. So I looked at it briefly, and I just turned off and went on by my business, because it wasn't my business. But I saw it take place. And then I just looked at it for a couple of seconds and walked off. So it just is what it is. You just got to watch your ass in here, that's all.
By the way, just so you know, Trevor's my brother and my current cellie.
The strangest thing I've seen since I've been in prison.
This is Andrew.
He's living in a dormitory and seeing five men sitting side by side on toilets with their pants down, doing their business, carrying on conversations with no privacy barriers or anything standing in between them.
Yeah, kind of a shitty deal there. Here's Bootsy.
The strangest thing I've seen in prison. There's a lot of strange things. I see condoms on the wall today. That's strange to me. I was assuming that we was in a man prison, that having sex with men is a violation. And why would you put condoms to have sex with a man?
So you didn't just think that they didn't want you to get the women here pregnant?
I believe that that's a rule violation too. So to have sex with anyone is violating the rules. So why would you give me something to break the rules?
Okay, this needs to be explained. There's a condom dispenser in the education building right across from where the CO sits. There's also one on the stairs and a couple of others sprinkled out throughout the institution. I don't know what they're being used for. All I can tell you is that those dispensers get empty and then they get full. Here's Rasan again with some other prisoners.
What is your name?
My name is Lawrence Udukodaye Pella.
What is the strangest thing you've seen since you've been in prison?
So we get in our lunches this bologna that's not real bologna. And I seen a guy open the pack, and I was thinking he was gonna put like the bologna on his sandwich. He didn't do that. He took the bologna out the pack and drank the little juice that is filled up at the bottom of that little plastic. And he slurped it up like it was smacking. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Ernie Quadras, what is the strangest thing you've seen since you've been in prison?
So I walk into the restroom, and it's a dorm, so there's a couple of pods sitting there. And I go, and I know this guy, I know this cat, he's a cool dude. I go and mess with him, I flush the toilet. And he's sitting there, he goes, oh. And I'm like, what? He goes, trying to get my shit out. I was like, yeah, I know, I realized that, and I helped you, I flushed the toilet. He goes, no. He pulls his hand up, and he's got his glove on, and he's trying to get out what he stashed. So I looked at him, I was like, my bad.
My name is Tom Ford. Strangest thing I've seen since I've been in prison is an inmate putting on a captain's uniform and walking out of control of a level 2 yard into the parking lot, getting in a truck and driving off.
You saw that?
I was that.
How long did you manage to stay free?
I managed to stay free for 4 months, returning with a write-up of being out of bounds.
Oh man, that sounds like a story right there. We're gonna have to ask Tom to come on back and tell us a little more about that one. But we don't have time to get into it now. We do have time for a few more of these questions.
Hi, this is Pat from Nebraska. Here is my pipe. Does all of the laundry go into one big batch to be washed and redistributed randomly? Or do you have your own designated clothing? I hope you don't have to wear someone else's undies.
We're going to get to the undies. Nice one, Pat. Now, this is one of those good crossover questions, because no matter where you live at, you got to do your laundry. But of course, in prison, we got our own way of doing it. I asked Rasan about this in a roundabout way. So, how do you shower, Rasan?
I typically get in the shower wearing my t-shirt, my boxers, and my socks. The water hits me like that, and as it starts to hit me, I kind of wash the clothes as if they're part of my body. And as I soap them up real good, then I take them off and rinse them out and wring them out. And then I definitely have a pair of clean underwear for the next day.
Sometimes I wash my clothes in the shower, and sometimes I wash them in the bucket. It all depends on how I feel.
That's Brian Acey. He works on video down in the media lab with me and Rasan.
So when you wash your clothes in the shower, how does that happen?
Well, I get in the shower, I take my underwear off, and then I wash them.
So you don't wash fully dressed?
No. I take off my underwear, and then I wash my underwear.
How many people shower at the same time as you?
Well, usually when I shower, everybody get out the shower, so.
Why does everybody get out when you get in?
I don't know. Won't you tell me? Because I don't know why.
Have you noticed that most people, when they shower with their boxers on, and you shower with your boxers off?
Yeah, I noticed that. That's probably why everybody get out, huh? Yeah.
When guys in San Quentin don't shower naked, it's not just because of lack of privacy or because they're doing their laundry. There's something else in the water. Here's Adrian Johnson, but we call him AJ.
You have these guys called shower sharks, right?
What is a shower shark?
A shower shark is a person, I like to say they're predators. So they like to overtly and covertly scrutinize men, you know, naked. But I know everybody has a preference, right? So I respect preferences, and whatever they into, and I'm, you know, so it's just that.
But you're going to keep your boxers on, though?
I keep my boxers on, man, until I get out, you know?
All right, Pat, you asked an innocent question about laundry, and you ended up with shower sharks. Go figure. But we're not done with your laundry question yet.
My name is Travis Wesley.
So talk about creative ways of washing your clothes in certain prisons.
So I'll say oftentimes most people don't have buckets. So what they do is they take some form of cleaning agent, whether it's like the disinfectant or soap, and they scrub the inner part of their toilet, rinse it out a little bit, and do their laundry either in their toilet for the big stuff like your pants, your jackets, your sweatpants, stuff like that. But for the smaller stuff, you can clean your sink out, like t-shirts, boxers, socks, stuff like that. I could see how it would come off as unsanitary, but unfortunately we're creatures that must adapt to our surroundings, and I think that's something I would still do today if I needed to do it.
Not everyone here does their own laundry.
My name is David Ditto.
And how do you do your laundry?
Well, I use the state laundry, so I basically put my dirty clothes in a bag and drop it off at the entrance of the building. And it comes back about 4 or 5 days later, cleaning in the bag.
Have you ever lost anything with the state laundry?
Yes, for sure. Sometimes the laundry bags get worn out, they'll get holes in them, and you can lose something small like a sock, a couple socks, maybe a pair of boxers, but sometimes a hole just gets ripped in the cycle and you get an empty bag back. So you do lose some laundry for sure.
Okay, we're still not done with laundry. Hygiene's a top priority here, and we spend a lot of time on our clothes. Now, Pat, you asked if we wear other people's undies. And as much as I wish we didn't, it happens. To get more on that, we took a stroll over to what's called the Laundry Exchange.
Two sheets, pillowcase, and towel.
One or two. You got two. Okay.
We do clothing exchange and we service new arrivals. New arrivals get here, we give them the clothes that they are authorized to have. You get two pair of blue pants,
two blue shirts,
three t-shirts,
three pair of boxer briefs,
three pair of socks.
Sean's been in prison for about 30 years, and he works down at the Laundry Exchange.
What's the most difficult thing about your job?
When there's nothing in here to give out, everybody wanna have an attitude and get upset. If the warehouse doesn't have it, it's not gonna be here.
Sheets, towel, pillowcases only. Come on,
oh, sheets, towel, and pillowcases only?
Yeah, come on.
I don't have any of those.
You got a towel in your hand, and you got sheets right there. You don't have any of
these are clean.
Okay, all right, fine. All right, next.
You don't have no socks.
Next, come on, next.
When are you going to have socks and underwear?
Come on, next, you're on the lineup. Towel and sheets.
Hi, this is Kerry. I'm calling from Fairfax, Virginia, D.C. suburb. And I'm wondering what mental health services are like in San Quentin. I'm sure there are people who come in with mental health issues, and there are probably people who suffer a lot of mental health stress and mental health issues while they're there. What's the services available to the guys who are there? Thanks.
Thanks for your question, Kerry. This is a tough one. Before Naj left town, we went out to the yard and talked to some guys about how the prison deals with mental health issues.
You know, there's certain areas in the yard where people can, you know, have their area, and everyone's welcome, but the EOPs.
EOPs. He's talking about enhanced outpatients.
EOP is a program where you see a psychiatrist once a month, you see a psychologist or a clinician once a week, and then you go to groups in and out throughout the week. Now, there's triple CMS, which are people that just take medications, and they see a psychiatrist once a month. And then you go to groups.
Out by the tennis court, the EOPs have their own table. It's near where the Dungeons and Dragons guys hang out, and it's also a spot for the LGBTQ folks. We went and asked some questions in the EOP area.
The problem with the EOP, the problem with the whole level of care system is that it doesn't separate the types of needs that people have. So you have people with post-traumatic stress disorder and suicidal ideations sharing a rack next to somebody or
totally paranoid about everything in life.
Next to somebody who is literally psychotic, seeing things, hearing things that aren't there. Literally last night I saw a guy not far from my bunk leaning over his neighbor's bunk, making all kind of aggressive hand gestures as if he was directing air traffic.
And then he went and licked the window.
So out on the yard, people with mental health classifications are socially segregated. And far as where they sleep at night, a lot of the EOPs are all housed together in a big dorm.
I'd like to know who in Sacramento came up with this idea of throwing 100 people with, you know, a huge spectrum of different types of issues to deal with, from psychosis and delusions all the way to simple depression and anxiety issues.
Into
and
a
they
dorm
put them all into yeah. one big barracks.
Yeah.
And some of the guys that I live with can't even perform their what do you call it, the ADLs, the activities of daily living, brushing their teeth and taking a shower every day and things like that.
Daily basis.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I'm actually seeing a psychologist once a month, and she had to stop seeing me because there was an increase of inmates here, right? And they had to be doing some sort of divvying up of people because the case overloads got so high. And you just wonder in cases like that, what is being lost?
Is there anyone that's incarcerated who wouldn't benefit from talking to a counselor?
No. That wouldn't benefit?
Yeah.
people who just don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Well, other than that. I mean, because it's a place where, I mean, human contact in and of itself is healthy.
We're entered to the medical facility. We entered on the third floor. Now we're walking down to the second floor, which is our mental health department.
That's Lieutenant Sam Robinson, San Quentin's public information officer. A few weeks ago, Lieutenant Robinson took Ear Hustle on a tour of the facility, including the mental health department in San Quentin's hospital.
This is a group therapy room. It's a group therapy room for different inmates here in our prison that we can't put in the same area together without incurring drama. So what we designed are what we call these therapeutic modules, which is individual booths we place people in so they can safely come into the room together. Our staff can actually vacate the room. Their clinicians will be right in the middle, provides all the safety and security necessary to provide group therapy to a higher security inmate. It's one of the ways to provide mental health services here inside the prison.
When we were in the group therapy room, there was a prisoner worker there named Ant mopping the floors. We asked him what he thought of the therapeutic modules.
For me, it looks like a dog cage, and we call it cages as guys in blue. Therapeutic module is a technical term that the courts want people to call it, but for us, it's a cage. If, hey man, I just got out the cage, you know, and everybody understands in blue what that is. It's sad. It's very sad to describe getting in it, you have to get in, close it, lock it, and you're still handcuffed, and then you have to turn around and put your hands out this little tray slot that's about, okay, I'm 6'2", so this is about 4 foot something, so you have to squat down, put your hands through the tray slot as you turn around, which is an open portal, and get uncuffed. Mm-hmm. So when I look at men inside of it, I'm, for one, thankful that I'm mature enough not to put myself in a situation to where I'm in it again, because I've been in it before, but I feel sad for them.
Oh, you have been in there?
I've been in them before when I was bad, when I was being.
So ask me how these things work.
Yeah, yeah. So, Lieutenant Robinson, how the heck do these work?
In my experience and what we found is that these things open up the world to guys who are incarcerated. In that, if you're someone who lives in a cell environment and you have destroyed the relationships with the people who are around you, many of those guys who are in that situation lock themselves away from the population, meaning that they don't leave their cells unless they're mandated to. That creates isolation. And so what we found is with the therapeutic modules, we're able to bring a guy outside of that setting that has become his safety zone, bring him into another place where he's able to be secured, have another safe space, but look around and be able to see the voices that are next to him, be able to see the faces that are next to him, to have some structured therapy in place. And what we've found is we have a higher functioning inmate, and we have a facility that's a much safer place for our staff and our inmates.
We'll be right back after the break to answer a few more questions.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, E, I'm in Milwaukee, so I can't be there, but I do have a question for you. Can you find out why we can't get correctional officers to talk with us? I really want to know. This question has been bothering me ever since we started. All right, thank you, and I'll see you in about 10 days.
That would be the one and only Nigel Poor, my co-host. Yep, getting officers on the program has been a problem. But do I have a surprise for you, Nige? I went to talk to an officer that I know without the mic, C.O. Thomas, and after a cool little conversation and weeks of persistence, he rounded up a few of his fellow officers to talk to me.
My name is Ricky Rojas, and I started the department in 1995. Well, I became a C.O. not for the job or to be around inmates or the rehabilitation part of it. It's all for money. All for money. It's the only reason why I'm here.
What do you think the misconception about correctional officers is?
They think that we just sit on our butts all day, but we're really walking around every day taking care of business.
Correctional officers are bad, you know, don't have a heart, really don't have a concern as far as convicts and inmates, whatever. That's not true.
Why do you think officers get a bad rep?
I think some officers get bad reps. Some officers deserve bad reps.
Some of them, I don't think they don't treat people like people sometimes. You know what I mean? They have a power here. I think sometimes they can misuse it, you know what I mean, and get at people the wrong way. Personally, guys on the main line that I've got to know, like, are good people, and I've been around it for a long period of time, and I've got to write, like, some good letters for them as far as trying to get out of here. I think that's probably the most positive thing for myself.
You know, some of the things we deal with, it may harden you a little bit, but we're people just like inmates, we're people just like civilians. We're not cold-hearted. We're here to do our job.
Well, that's a start. We're going to make an effort to get more COs on Ear Hustle because they are a big part of life in prison. Hopefully, we'll hear from more soon.
Hey, team. This is Kevin from Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I'm just wondering, what makes for a good joke in prison? Like, what's something that would be funny in prison that we may not get on the outside? Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin. Yep, prison humor can be pretty specific. It's not for everybody. I don't know if other prisons are like this, but in San Quentin, we actually have stand-up comedians. They'll perform at functions when visitors come in. We got one of the comedians, Jonathan Chu, to come and try out some jokes on us.
There's a lot of stuff you can't do in prison, I found out. You know, you can't drink, can't do drugs, can't smoke. You can't even have sex, not even with yourself, I found out. Like, I don't get it. Like, CDCR wants us to rehabilitate. How am I supposed to do that if I can't even get in touch with myself?
Boom, boom. Comedy is always funnier in front of a big crowd. This is Eric Lamont Durr on stage up at the chapel.
My idol, Bill Cosby, you know, Fat Albert, hey, hey, hey. You know, Bill has fallen. Now, if Bill comes to prison, I'm gonna have to clown him. And I say, hey, Bill, oh, excuse me, hey, hey, hey. You need a snack, Bill? Would you like some more pudding?
You know, I had a lot of different cellies. You know, early on, I had, like, really crazy-ass cellies. And, you know, one morning, I woke up, and, like, he's sitting naked right next to me on my bed. And I'm like, wow, he really cares about how I sleep.
I don't think that would
eat. You know, yeah, like, these are prison jokes. I mean, that's why these guys get it. And it's because you're...
I'll explain that one to you when you get back, Nige. Big thanks to everyone who called in and dropped us a line. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Rasan New York Thomas for helping us with this episode. And big thanks to all the correctional officers and Lieutenant Robinson. And a major shout out to all the guys inside who told us their stories. You can find a full list of everyone involved on our website, earhustlesq.com. Ear Hustle is produced by myself, Erline Woods, and Nigel Poor, with help from outside producer Pat Macedi Miller, who also comes in to work with our sound design team. This episode includes music from Antoine Williams, David Jossie, and E. Phil Phillips. Curtis Fox is our story editor, Aaron Wade, our digital producer, and Julie Shapiro is our executive producer for Radiotopia. We want to thank Warden Ron Davis, and as you know, every episode has to be approved by this guy here.
This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison, and finally get some people in uniform who are just like me, who are stepping up in front of the mic and are sharing their perspectives. It's an honor to be able to say that I'm no longer the only uniformed voice that's a part of this. So, as I always do, I approve this episode.
Next time on Ear Hustle, dating from prison.
I remember being so happy to see her. Like, I was really looking forward to it, right? And I was biting my lip because I didn't want to walk in with this really stupid, shitty smile on my face.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm. This podcast was made with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration. Nigel will be back for the next episode. I'm Earlonne Woods, and for all of us at Ear Hustle, thanks for listening.
My first couple of nights in prison, I woke up in the middle of the night and the guy was screaming. And you know, my first thought was, man, this guy really loves it here.